Clark Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Here.
Mr. Crowley? Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here.
Councilman Crowley is here. I'm promoting him to panelist.
Councilman Crowley, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you.
There we go.
There we go. Coming in from the back of an ambulance.
Yes. Okay, could we please stand for a silent prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance?
Before we do that, if I can ask Councilman Crowley, if you could just mute your phone until it's time for you to speak because we're getting tremendous feedback. Thank you.
Okay. So, right now, I would like the approval of the previous meeting minutes for December 15th. 2022 regular meeting.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Before the vote is yes, before the vote is taken, we will need Councilman Vito and Eileen will need you to abstain. So will we require a second from someone who's not abstaining?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll second.
I'm abstaining as well.
Okay. And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo.
Abstain.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Crowley.
Crowley votes yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Abstain.
Mr. Dougherty.
Abstain.
Ms. Von Leitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Okay, and now I need a motion a second for January 1st, 2023 for a reorganization meeting.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley? Mr. Crowley?
I'm sorry, Michelle, you dropped off. What do you need?
Minutes of January 1st?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought I already voted on that. Yes, I approve.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
Okay. Thank you. And finally, I just look up and read this. And could be here representing proclamation of the Mayor and Council of Atlantic Highlands in appreciation of Andy and Chuck Hall. Whereas brothers Andy and Chuck Hall, owners of Jasmine Brothers Hardware, and their staff are known throughout the borough of Atlantic Highlands for their support of our community. Whereas the name and the owners of this hardware store have changed over time, it has remained a part of First Avenue and Atlantic Highlands since 1925. Andy and Chuck Hall have run this very successful business since 2003, providing a household-friendly atmosphere, amazing customer service, and every hardware need possible. And whereas the Atlantic Highlands Recreation Department, along with the mayor and council, wish to honor Andy and Chuck for their commitment to this community and to thank them for lighting and decorating their borough Christmas tree since 2015. Now therefore, be it proclaimed that I, Loretta Lexie, Mayor of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, Council, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, do hereby present this proclamation to Andy and Chuck, but with sincere appreciation for all they do for the Borough of Atlantic Highlands.
And now for the Employee of the Month. Just a little thing here. James Osborne, lovingly known as Ozzy, began employment as a part-time employee of the harbor in August of 1977. He became a permanent employee on March 22, 1978, working with the harbor yard crew. Ozzy became assistant dock master in 1986 until 2004, when dock master Al Fisher retired and Ozzy took over the reins as dock master. Ozzy has been an employee of the borough for 45 years and begins his 46th year in March. Ozzy is well respected in his field among the other borough employees. We can always count on Ozzy and any day, any time, or any night of the week. He is always only on a phone call away. The harbor and the borough and the residents of Atlantic Highlands are so lucky to have such a dedicated and involved employee. And if I could have the harbor master maybe say a few words.
Everybody knows Ozzy. Ozzy can be a tough guy. He has to be, just for your information. He's dealing with folks that weigh upwards of 50 tons. He's got to worry about the boat itself. He must have worked millions of dollars. And he's also got to worry about the employees that are working with him. So everybody has got to be on the ball. Should they drop a boat, it could seriously injure or kill somebody. And Ozzy, he runs a tight ship down there. I totally respect him. He is, when it's in the yard, he's the boss. I might be the harbor manager, but when it comes to that yard and those folks, he's the boss. Mm-hmm. And I want every one of you to realize he takes it very seriously. So he might get a little stressed at times.
No.
Sometimes it gets a little rough down there, but they work during the night, they work during the day, they work when it's freezing, 12 degrees out, 0 degrees. They're out there working, okay? Same way in the summer. And anytime something goes wrong down at that harbor and I need somebody down there, I call Ozzy. And the first thing he says to me, Lou, I gotta get dressed. It'll take me 20 minutes. I'll get down there. He's past me already and down there waiting. So, I mean, he's a good guy and we're lucky to have him.
Thank you.
The longest employed person
that I have? That was my goal when I was
fired. Well, I think you ought to tip yourself. So, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mayor, just when public comment happens, just remind people to come up to the front.
Right.
We wouldn't bother.
Okay. All right. So, unfinished business. We have an ordinance 2023 COLA ordinance, public hearing, and possible adoption.
So before we proceed with that, I've asked Matt Holman from HFA, our financial company, to patch in if he has time to provide a very brief synopsis of what the COLA ordinance actually is. I'm not sure if he's logged on. Is he logged on, Doug?
It appears so. Should I bring him over?
Please. And if anyone from the public has any follow-up questions after that, please email me. I can touch base with HFA and get you specific answers if you'd like.
There he is.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thank you for patching in. We appreciate it, and we appreciate the time you put aside. If you could just provide a brief synopsis to the public of what the actual COLA ordinance is.
Yeah, absolutely. And good evening, everyone. So the COLA ordinance, just so everybody knows, the state of New Jersey has allowed a way for municipalities to be able to increase their budget by the appropriation side of the budget, that is, by more than the 2.5% legislative cap that's placed on that side. And, you know, this is necessary because essentially with inflation and everything that we know, expenses have a tendency to go up by more than that. And, you know, it's important to remember that this legislation was put in place many years ago. It's become a pretty standard ordinance that's adopted by nearly every municipality at this point in time. And it's historically something that's always been done. Now, this is not increasing the budget at all at this point in time, other than allowing you the ability that when the 23 budget is completed, this just allows you the ability to go up to the 3.5% cap on the appropriation side of the budget when that time comes. Okay? So this isn't doing anything other than giving us the ability to go there if we see fit.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much, Matt, for providing that brief synopsis. And if anyone from the public has any questions, I'll gather that information. I'll email it over to you.
Okay.
Thanks for logging on. Take care. Have a good night.
Yep. So I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it. Second, everybody.
And roll call. Oh, open it to public. I'm sorry. Because are there any... Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Good evening, everybody. One paragraph in the ordinance I just would like some clarification. It says, whereas the council hereby determines that any amount authorized here and above that is not appropriated as part of the final budget shall be retained as an exception to the final appropriation in either of the next two succeeding years. So this ordinance is actually good for 2 years. Is that what that implies?
That's my understanding, but I can get clarification from Matt and get back to you on that.
Because wouldn't it take the next council, if there were new members, to approve next year's appropriations?
That I'm not sure of. I'd have to get that answer for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it.
Anyone on Zoom?
No hands raised on Zoom.
Okay, then roll call.
Motion and a second.
A motion and a second?
We have a motion.
Yeah.
A motion and a second.
Okay.
Murphy, Dougherty, Michelle.
Sorry, just for a point of parliamentary procedure. I think the motion and the second was to open public comment. So are we now moving to close public comment, Michelle? Is that what you're asking for?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually thought that there was a motion second on the ordinance before it was open for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. So we were.
Mr. Comacerto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Unleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 2-2023 has passed.
Okay, and now moving on to the public comment. It's on the consent agenda items only. Anyone on Zoom?
We have one hand raised.
Okay.
One hand lowered. Zero hands.
Okay. How many people are on Zoom?
15 attendees.
Okay, 15.
One hand raised again. Would you
yes.
Mr. Leinsdorf keeps cutting in and out, so.
Well, we'll come back. Okay, so we'll handle that later. Are there any comments from the public? No hands? We'll go back to Mr.
Let's Leinsdorf. Try Mr. Leinsdorf. And Mayor, you'd like him as a panelist?
This is
sure.
Mr. Leinsdorf, can you hear us?
There he is.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Josh Leinsdorf, 60 Bayside Drive. I'd just like to say that I don't think Mr. Colangelo is a good choice for zoning officer. I don't think he has the right temperament. I said this before. So I just wanted to say that and say that I think people should be aware and make sure that they document every action with Mr. Colangelo when they deal with it in some way to protect themselves. I'm glad to see it's only a one-year appointment, and I overheard the administrator say that he's been to training, though I think that's a good thing. But I just wanted to make my concerns known. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, since I see no hands and we're good on Zoom, consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 26, appointment of code enforcement officer. Resolution 27, veterans tax exemption. Resolution 28, authorizing donation of surplus property. Resolution 29, payment of bills, $323,833.65. Resolution 30, authorizing local recreation improvement grant application. And then resolution 31 is appointing redactor for Daniels Law. I mean,
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Did you want to say anything?
I just wanted to add that the last item is per the DCA's request. For all municipalities to proceed forward with appointing a redactor for Daniel's Law.
The Department of Consumer Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion and second. A roll call.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you. Okay, now council reports, and we're going to start with Councilman Colasero.
Sure, let's start with these reports. Shade Tree met last night. Both Councilwoman Hohenleitner and I attended. I have to say I'm pretty excited that my first report is about planting trees and not cutting them down. In line with our town being Tree City USA, Shade Tree planted 34 trees during the month of December. The trees that were planted were a combination of redwoods and dogwoods. This was a pretty big undertaking by Shade Tree, and we should be really appreciative that they did it, especially during the month of December. Also wanted to report that the project for tribute trees continues to move forward. We're waiting for biographies from residents in town, which I believe will be accessed through a QR code when this project is up and running. Should be pretty cool. Then also, Shade Tree is planning big things for Earth Month, otherwise known as April. They already placed their order for seedlings, which should be delivered mid-April. As events get firmed up for Earth Month, I'll be providing more information. But as a very amateur gardener, I'm pretty excited about what they have planned. On Monday, Councilman Dougherty and I attended the fire department meeting. There's nothing to report from the meeting per se, but this morning we learned that the Fireman's Fair has been scheduled for July 4th, which is a Tuesday, to Saturday, July 8th. As usual, the fireworks will be on Friday, which is July 7th. In the event of rain, it will be on Saturday, so mark your calendars accordingly. As it relates to recreation, the meeting is next Thursday, so I'll have more to report on recreation then. But on January 20th, there is a varsity boys basketball game. Tip-off is at 4 p.m. Any kid from Atlantic Highlands wearing their Atlantic Highlands recreation t-shirt will get free admission. And my understanding is that there will be a fun shootout after the game so we can all pretend to be Steph Curry. Finally, I actually wanted to give a shout out to Claire Kozik, who operates a social media account on Instagram called F_of_AH_rec. And on Facebook, it's Friends of Atlantic Highlands Recreation. It's the unofficial recreation page for Atlantic Highlands. And, you know, I popped on there and you're getting great information about what's going on in town, specific to the schools, sports signups, borough contests, like the Christmas decorating contest, which is great. And I think it's important when you have a resident like this who's stepping up to the plate and trying to inform the public that we support that resident. And I think it's a really nice thing that she does and that she takes the time to do it. And then lastly, there's an environmental meeting on January 26th. So after that, 24th, I'm sorry, after that, I will report back to you on the 26th.
Thank you. Councilman Crowley?
Hi, everybody. Had to pull over, trying to make things not quite so loud. So let me start with, actually with recreation. I'll pick up where Councilman Color Starter just left off. As he said, our meeting is next week, but we are going to have two more movie nights coming up this year. We're moving them to Sundays. We did a little experiment last year with Goonies, and we had tripled our amount of attendance. So we're going to move our movie nights to Sundays, and they're going to be the last Sundays in July and September. That'll be on the calendar, and I'll talk more about the calendar in a moment when I get to DPW, but it'll be listed there, so in case you forget. But you can also see with our new, newly redesigned AHNJ.com, there's an events button there. You can go and you can hit that button. You can see what's going on around town regarding recreation and a lot of other groups here in town. Also in August, we're having our music festival again, but it's going to be expanded. So it's going to be a music festival and a food truck festival. So I think that promises to be something even bigger and even more fun. And there'll be more information that'll be on the calendar as well. And you'll be able to find it on AHNJ.com. And as we get closer, I'll make more announcements about that. And then also Atlantic Highlands Day featuring Touch a Truck will be in October. And that will be posted everywhere that I just said that the other events will be. But we're going to try and make that even better and more fun, which is hard to imagine because it already is a lot of fun. But we're going to have more food trucks at that event as well. Let me talk about police moving on. You know, I just went through the report for the entire year and the year end. It would take me an hour to go through everything that our department has accomplished in the last 12 months. So I'm not going to do them justice by boiling things down, but to give you a greater sense of all the things that the police department does, let me just run through a couple of things very quickly. These are some of the workshops and training and refresher courses that everybody in the department goes through in one form or another. Crash investigation, firearm training, drug enforcement training, LGBTQ plus liaison meetings, domestic violence response, rapid deployment training, grant writing, active shooter training, crisis intervention. And that, like I said, that just scratches the surface of everything that they do throughout the year. There are countless more, but it's interesting to read these reports and see how much additional training each member of our squad receives every year. It's really impressive. And I will also say that going through the report, in terms of traffic stops, over 2,500 last year, DWI arrests, 22, motor vehicle crashes investigated, 95 last year. The total amount of incidents were over 15,000 last year, and that includes property checks, fire calls, hazardous road conditions, homeland security, lockout calls, which is available to anybody here in town, 121 car crashes, 2,600 motor vehicle stops, 47 arrests, so on and so forth. So these guys and gals are incredibly busy, and we give them the tip of the cap. That's our police department. Moving on to our first aid squad. We've all been keeping track of what's been going on the last couple of years in terms of level of response from our EMS, our first aid squad. Let me just say, from January 1st to June 30th, they had 81 calls that they answered. From July 1st to December 31st, over 230 calls. So the ship is turning around quickly in some regards, a little more slowly in other regards, but the ship is definitely turning around, and the morale is up. I spent an hour there earlier in the week, and that place is spick and span. Some of their gear is getting a little older. We'll have to deal with that later, but they're maintaining it in top-notch condition and really, really making a big improvement with the way they're responding to all of our residents in their time of need. I will also add that in just 2023 alone, day 12, they've already, as of yesterday, there were already 13 calls that they've answered. It's probably gone up since I last checked. And that includes two responses where CPR was issued, a couple of overdoses, and there was a car accident where somebody was struck by a car. And of course, during the year, everybody on that squad is also getting refreshers in CPR and bloodborne pathogen training. So like our police department, they're keeping current on all fronts. And so thank you to Ann Scholler and also Lance Huberty for riding herd on all that. I will also say, I'll add that Captain Ann Scholler has upgraded all the electronic patient care reporting system. So we've upgraded that, which is great, more efficient. Record keeping and communicating that with our hospitals and also within the FAS themselves. They're always looking for help. I know you've heard this over the last 2 years, but it bears repeating. If you're interested in becoming a driver or you want to become an EMT, excuse me, you can go to info@ahfirstaid.org. And it's important to note that all your training costs are covered by our first aid squad, so you're not out of pocket for that. I would also, let's turn into our lane with DPW, Department of Public Works. So all the Christmas tree pickup is complete. If you still have a Christmas tree, what you need to do is bring it down to the recycling yard from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the same with all the brush and leaf pickup is done. So if you have your leaf and refuse that's gathered in your house, please bring it off the street and take it down to the recycling center, same thing, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. I know that online I've seen people wondering, like, when is my trash pickup? You can, you know, we have January on the calendar that the town hands out. So you can still, into this new year, you can look at the calendar and you can see what days are pickup for heavy pickup, for recycling, and for just regular trash pickup. It's all right there. There's also more information about heavy pickup and recycling, what you can take down and recycling, what you can't take down and recycling. It's in the calendar. Also, with the newly designed ahnj.com, this is a great feature. It's been there, but in case you're not, if you haven't used it, there's a calendar. You type in your address, and it'll tell you what your pickup dates are. So you can get your information that way if you don't have a hard copy of the town's calendar. I'll also tell you that I've been working with Jimmy Phillips I'll be introducing the council a new ordinance. We have a lot of problems with illegal dumping at the recycling yard, and so this peg, I'll be in touch with you as well. This ordinance will deal with illegal dumping at the recycling yard. Also, one last thing, and I don't mean to preach, I don't want to mansplain, but you know, I want to talk about just for a second what happens when you try illegally dumping in our trash system. Like if you were painting in the house and you just took your empty paint container or there's a little paint left in it, if you threw that into your trench, what happens is it goes in, and as the trash gets compacted, it'll pop those paint cans, and now all of a sudden we have paint that's now coating our trash truck, and then it leaks, and then it leaks onto the street, and now we have paint drippings all through town. And so our guys and gals have to go hose down the truck, and then they have to go and remove the paint from the streets, because you notice that on our newly paved streets, we try to keep things nice, and they go with flat back, black paint, and they go and they paint that dripping out. And so there's a whole chain of events that happens, and so you can go to, say, Jaspin's and buy something that you drop into the paint can. It absorbs the paint and it dries it out, and then you can deposit it safely at the recycling yard where they're equipped to handle that. So please, please, please look at the calendar, see what you can take down to recycling and what shouldn't go into your normal trash containers. And I think that is yes, I've covered everything, and I'm sorry, that was a long report, a lot of departments, but thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you. And Councilwoman Cusack.
Good evening, everyone. I report out on senior citizens. Our committee has not met since I was appointed, but I will say that I had an opportunity to meet with Roy Deloso, who is very much involved in the senior group down at the harbor. That organization has 100 active members, 53 of whom routinely appear. The organization really is involved in a lot of social activities, such as, I find it quite funny, playing poker. They also do things like yoga and bingo and a variety of other things. So it's a social activity organization. I will have more information, hopefully, at our next meeting. The Emergency Management Committee has not met, so I have no report. And lastly is the Veterans Affairs Committee. That's a brand new committee that we are in the process of forming, so at this point I have no report back on that. I did want to spend a minute and talk a little bit about Martin Luther King Day is coming up on Monday, and it would be really nice to recognize the leader, the person who is leading nonviolence and social justice issues over the many, many, many years that he was involved. I do know the Day of Service has been activated nationally, and in our local area, there are two activities going on related to Martin Luther King that you may be interested in. The first one is actually tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock at the Sheridan Eatontown, and that is a commemorative Beck breakfast, and we'll be having some activities related to Martin Luther King. And the other one that is local is at the in Oceanport, the Church Assembly of God is doing an event on Monday at noon, again, recognizing Martin Luther King's contributions related to social justice and to nonviolence. That's my report.
Thank you. Councilman Duckley.
Thank you, Mayor. So on finance and personnel, I have nothing to report in the area of finance. At this point, on the personnel side, I'd just like to add my personal congratulations to Ozzy for his incredible career and his well-deserved Employee of the Month honor. I have nothing to add to Councilman Colasurdo's excellent fire report other than Fireman's Fair has already hit my calendar and my kids are very much looking forward to it. EMS Task Force has not met since our November 30th meeting. On November 30th, we met with representatives from the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs. I will continue to update when and if future meetings are scheduled. I'd like to spend the rest of my report talking about Planning Board. The Planning Board held its reorganization meeting on Thursday, January 5th. New members were sworn in. They are the Mayor's Designee, Class 1, Brian Bonds; Class 2, which is the Borough Employee Member of the Board, Marty Hawley; Class 3 Borough Representative, that's Council Representative, that's myself; Class 4, Katrina Majewski; alternate one, Dr. Marissa Zuzalak, and alternate four, Michelle Walter. Congratulations to the newly minted planning board members, and to the entire board, thank you for your service to the community. I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue to serve with you, beginning, which is now my seventh year on the planning board. As part of the reorganization, new leadership was named. John McGoldrick was elected chairman. Former chairman Jim Neff was elected vice chairman. Mike Stibe was reappointed as a planning board attorney. Doug Rohmeyer was reappointed as the board engineer. And I can speak for the board when I say we're all delighted to have them both back again this year. Corinne Basicchio was named planning board secretary, and the meeting dates for 2023 were approved. And once again, the board will continue to meet on the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. here in this space and on Zoom. As part of the regular meeting, one application was heard. 96 First Avenue, First Cup LLC, received approval for a minor site plan and change of use for an activity meeting room adjacent to the coffee shop. That was the only application heard that night. And lastly, pursuant to New Jersey State statute, I'm pleased to report that the 2022 annual report was approved by the board and conveyed to Mayor and Council. This annual report is a detailed summary of each of the 21 applications that was heard by the board last year. I would like to focus the council's attention to pages 24 and 25, the final two pages of the report. These are the comments and the recommendations for zoning ordinance amendment or revision sections. I encourage all members to read these sections carefully. There is excellent and thorough information in there with plenty of action for us to consider here on the dais. For members of the public who'd like to read this document, it's available on ahnj.com under departments and then planning board. And on the left-hand panel, it's the top document for download. So check it out. That, Mayor, ends my report.
Thank you. Councilwoman Hohenlinger.
Thank you, Mayor. So I will be pretty brief today, as it's January and it's still in the first half of the month. For finance personnel, I don't have much to add to that other than we are heavy into the budgeting process. And we will be taking care of that over the next month or two. Traditionally, the budget comes before the public in about April, but we're trying to get ahead of it because there's so much changing in the economic environment right now. In terms of personnel, I have no report. I almost started reading your report. Mr. Crowley gave a very thorough police report, but I want to also thank Chief Reinert for really doing a great job with your annual report. And I want to note that you did an amazing job managing salary and wages this year and overtime. It's amazing how much you were able to contribute to other parts of the borough because you held the line so well there. So thank you for that, Chief. We're really lucky. In terms of Shade Tree, Vito gave a great report, so I don't need to add anything to that. Harbor Commission, Mr. Murphy and I attended both the reorganization and our first Harbor meeting just this week, and Mr. Murphy had no idea how awesome and efficient those meetings are.
It was fantastic, 30 minutes.
And that included executive session.
Yes.
Mr. Krause is a member of the Harbor Commission also. So at the reorganization, we appointed a new Harbor attorney, Greg Cannon, and his associate, Christina, joined us for our first meeting of the year. We are really, really excited to have them on board. They're taking over the litigation against Kappa Construction that we had reported at the last meeting, council meeting, and have already, Christina's already been working through the collections, so we feel really confident that we are in good hands there. We also are in great hands with the newly appointed engineer, which is Doug Rohmeyer's firm, CME. Can you tell us the name of the woman it's Laura?
Yep, Ms. Newman, Laura Newman.
Laura Newman, who is, her reputation is incredible. She's a borough attorney in Long Branch. Where else is she?
Borough engineer.
A borough engineer in Long Branch, I mean, sorry. We just did that.
Professional engineer and planner for over 20 years.
Yeah, she's great. In terms of the green team, just what we have not met yet this month. We'll be meeting next week at 6:30. And that meeting is going to now take place immediately before the open space meeting because there's a lot of crossover and representation between the two. The Green Team is planning to coordinate, and Ms. Schaefer and I are looking to see how we can do this best efficiently with the Arts Council, with all the environmentally facing commissions and committees in town. So that includes ones that are not even Atlantic Highlands committees, like the Gardening for Wildlife certification program, to really, like Shade Tree report had said, have a big bang in April where we're really showcasing how environmentally aware, conscious, and engaged that Atlantic Highlands is. I see Mr. Hartman in the back, so that you'll probably be involved in that too.
And then lastly, Mayor, just a couple things from the governor's State of the State address that I think we want to make sure the public is aware of. Naloxone, which is like Narcan is one of the brand names for that, has already since last summer been available for free to members of the public, but in the State of the State address that Ms. Schaefer attended as a guest, he announced that pharmacies were going to have that on hand, no questions asked. And we know that our first aid squad and our police department have been encountering this situation, so we want to make sure that everyone in Atlantic Highlands knows that they'll be able to go to our local pharmacy and purchase this as a preventive measure or some, or just a fail-safe backup. Oh, also, I forgot to say that was it Monday was Law Enforcement Appreciation Day?
Mm-hmm.
So every day in Atlantic Highlands is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Members of the Atlantic Highlands Council will be having office hours in the public conference room at from 5:30 to 6:30 every Thursday, whether we have a council meeting or not. So thank you to Ms. Cusick and Mr. Murphy for kicking it off tonight. They spent time getting to know each other because nobody knew about it yet. But thanks, Michelle, for adding that to the calendar. And then the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council has two big events this weekend. They're kicking off a photography exhibit on Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m. That's the opening for that. And then on Sunday, they're doing a Leonard Cohen movie at 4 o'clock and looks to be really interesting. It's also 30 minutes before the Giants kick off in the playoffs, so I will only be attending the first part of that. But they would love for folks to participate. And I believe Anchor Program. So the Anchor Program, if you're aware of it, the income requirements for the Anchor Program, which is a reimbursement to residents, homeowners with income of $150,000 or less would receive potentially $1,500 if they qualify. More than $150,000 and up to $250,000 would receive $1,000. And renters with income of $150,000 or less will receive $450. The news about this, because this program's been in place for quite a while now, is that the governor has extended the extension, because it was already extended once to the end of January, so February 28th. So that program, there's been some difficulty connecting with that program. And if you need assistance from or further information from that, you can reach out to us or to our state senator, Declan O'Scanlan, is happy to help. And that, Mayor, is my report. I talked fast.
Okay. And Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple points to add to previous reports. For first aid, the annual refreshers that were completed were in Narcan, EPI pen, EpiPen, Right to Know, and bloodborne pathogens, and all were fit testing for N95 masks. As far as the electronic upgrades, we want to thank Captain Ann Scholler, as she upgraded our electronic patient care reporting and has installed two new iPads in the ambulances and for first responders. Jumping over to DPW, want to note the DPW has requested that all residents please remove any brush or leaves from the roadway until next scheduled pickup. Winter weather is here. When we are anticipating snow, please assist the DPW with parking your vehicles off the streets in driveways if permitted, allowing our plow trucks to clear as much snow material as possible. Once the storm ends, please allow the plow trucks the time to push back the snow and clear as the mush surfaces all over the road. Please do not shovel, plow, or blow snow back into the roadway. Reminder, many ice melting chemicals and pellets are harmful to your pet's paws. Please clear any hydrants near your home. We are, DPW is asking for a minimum of a 3-foot by 3-foot clearance in all directions around the hydrants near your home. Please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and for tremendous amounts of borough information. Jumping over just to add a couple points to recreation. Our recreation basketball season is underway and we have had a wonderful turnout. It is a fantastic Saturday morning and afternoon. If you're interested in the area, please stop by the Parish Center on South Avenue and enjoy some fun games and cheer on the kids. DPW or the Recreation Committee is also meeting with the Highlands Director of Recreation, Jackie King, to coordinate some programs between the towns and how we can provide those services to all the children available. Just a note, this year's Winter House Decorations Contest, the winners were the Coltons on Avenue D, and their home will be featured in next year's calendar for December.
Oh, nice.
More to discuss when the upcoming meeting comes up, but one of the topics that Councilwoman Cusick and I were discussing in our moments of waiting for the public to come on in, we had talked about some opportunities and some ideas for seniors. Recreation is largely focused, has largely been focused on our youth, but we're talking about some ideas on what to bring to the Recreation Committee for some activities and some fun things, as well as some health concerns and stuff like that for our recreation, for the seniors out there. That is it for me and what I have left. That's it, Mayor.
Thank you. And now, administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
The first, the office hours that Councilwoman Hohenleitner had referenced are going to be held in the, excuse me, the public conference room, which is at the end of the hallway to the left, if you're heading into the building. Also, we received notification from New Jersey American Water that they will be repainting and making repairs to the water tank located along Sears Avenue on or about January 17. It's expected to be completed by the end of May, weather permitting. The reason they informed us so that we could inform the public that if they see workers and trucks and hear noise in that area, that is what is being conducted. But that structure is not part of Atlantic Islands. That's part of Navisink, which is part of Middletown. So we don't want people to think that New Jersey American Water is doing something on our system, because we're not part of New Jersey American Water. We have our own system, artisanal well water.
Hey, got
so,
it.
Mm-hmm. So that's
right
that.
Here.
tomorrow morning, several of us will be participating in the AFG Assistance to Firefighters Grants webinar held by Congressman Frank Pallone's office. AFG grants assist firefighters and other first responders to obtain critically needed resources necessary for protecting the public and emergency mm-hmm. personnel from fire and related hazards. So we're really looking forward to this opportunity through Congressman Pallone's office, and hopefully we can pursue some funds that could help our municipality out in those departments. The county has informed us that the bridge on East Mount Avenue, the Stone Bridge, will be inspected at some point between February and May. 66 total county bridges will be inspected, which includes that bridge. JMT is the company that will be conducting the inspection. My office has informed the police department and DPW that they've been notified of that. Regionalization. Our special counsel assigned to this matter, Mr. Giacobbe, has informed us that the board's legal counsel has apprised both he and Vito Gagliardi that the boards are in the process of reevaluating their position. When I reference the boards, I'm referencing the school boards. But the boards are reevaluating their position, including the possibility of focusing on moving forward with the first phase of the plan, namely to regionalize Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and Henry Hudson Regional. That is the latest update. The only other update was the update that I provided at the last meeting, which was naming Glenn Fournay as the proposed mediator that all parties had agreed to. Next item, Mother Teresa, our newly appointed special counsel assigned to this potential land acquisition matter, is being brought up to speed. We are also coordinating our schedules with the mayor and council, with that special counsel, and our redevelopment planner. We're coordinating our calendars to select the date that we can all attend to conduct a public forum, a public meeting, so that everyone can be brought up to speed from the redevelopment planner. But once a date is selected, we have to coordinate that with the school, because the ideal goal would be to have that held at the school auditorium here in town to allow more room if residents wanted to attend to exceed the capacity of this room. So realistically, we're looking at late February for a date. That is my hope. And then proceeding forward from there, if everything aligns correctly, we would begin with a new first reading, and then that would bounce to the Planning and Zoning Board for consistency review with the master plan, and then back to the council for a second reading. So that's the latest update regarding that. The LEAP grant that was brought up at a recent council meeting for the regionalization study, the question at the council meeting at the time was, you know, what's going on with the reimbursement regarding the LEAP grant? So my office has been working diligently on that. The latest update on that is that Seabright Borough Administrator Joseph Veroni had filed an appeal with Lieutenant Sheila Oliver's office after Seabright had been denied reimbursement for the LEAP grant by the DCA. A response from the Lieutenant Governor's office has not yet been received as of today, but I keep following up with Mr. Veroni, and I'll keep everyone posted on that. Hydrant flushing. Just to reiterate again that we have scheduled the 2023 hydrant flushing for the following dates so they can be added to the 2023 borough calendar. April 24th through the 27th and May 1st if needed, as well as October 23rd through the 27th and October 30th if needed. We were required by state to do one flushing, but we do two. We do extra due diligence here in our municipality. The next, I'd just like to congratulate the employee of the month, Ozzy. I think he already left, but it's well-deserved. He's a really hard worker, and he deserves it. And just to remind everybody that municipal offices will be closed on Monday on observations of Martin Luther King Day. And that's it. Thank you, Mayor. Okay,
thank you. And from our new attorney?
I have no report at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
I have had an opportunity to talk to people around your
town. I need to learn how to turn on my microphone. I will be reporting next meeting, but so far all I've done is get up to speed with what's going on and talk to your business administrator and your clerk and many of your council people independently, and it's a beautiful community. I'm looking forward to working with all of you.
Thank you. And our engineer?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Many Mine Avenue Park, pleased to report the project is substantially complete at this time. There's some minor punch list items that remain, some general site restoration, just a little, nothing significant. So the park is open at this time for the public to use and enjoy, and we'll keep an eye on it to make sure the grounds are restored properly and we get some good vegetation in there in the spring. The 22 road program, it's current, as you're aware. With the winter weather we're experiencing at this point, the contractor has pulled off, and as soon as the temperatures come back up to be within tolerance for paving, they'll return over for the Wesley Avenue component of the project. We will re-notice the residents and get something up on your website as well. I believe I reported at the last meeting that the borough has received an additional grant for East Garfield through the DOT local aid, therefore combining the 2022 and 2023 municipal aid money. There should be enough to get moving with that project, and I'll work with your administrator to look at the overall project costs to hopefully get that moving as soon as the weather breaks as well. Mm-hmm. Tonight you had a resolution on supporting the LRIG, the Local Rec Infrastructure Grant application. They're due in about a week, so our office is with this resolution that you passed this evening. We'll be able to compile the complete application for submissions through the DCA SAGE program. And again, we're requesting the maximum amount, $100,000, for the skate park. And it'll hopefully supplement the grant that we're hoping to receive through Monmouth County Open Space to combine for $350,000 total. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so all reports done. We're going to move on to public comment. Once again, everyone should know a name, an address. If you're here, move forward so that we can hear you under the microphone. But I'm going to start with the people from Zoom. Zoom.
One hand raised, Mr. Leisdorf.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes? Okay, Josh Longstreet, 60 Bayside Drive. About half a dozen really quick items. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the new website, which is spectacularly good, and you should be very proud of it. I'm going to make my annual request that we do a Juneteenth celebration in town, because in the last 3 years, people who have tried to celebrate Juneteenth in Monmouth County have had law enforcement and legal process fall out against them. So I think they need to be encouraged to come. And so I think they need something of an invitation. And I think we should do it in town in the fishing club. But I'm open to other ideas. I wanted to ask Mr. Ferragina, he mentioned that a grant had been awarded but not received, and I just wondered if that grant has now been received.
Mr. Reinsdorf, I don't recall referring to any grant.
The LEAP grant?
Maybe? Oh!
Oh, I'm sorry. If you're referring to the LEAP grant status, so that was the grant that the municipality had pursued along with Seabright and Highlands prior to me coming on board to fund the study that was done for regionalization. Seabright had submitted the grant application on behalf of the three municipalities, and basically we and Highlands have not been refunded back. So we're seeking those funds. Seabright has been denied the funds. They were informed that they did not submit the application properly. So there's an appeal process. They filed an appeal. Mr. Veroni filed an appeal with the lieutenant through the lieutenant governor's office, and now we're waiting to hear a response from the lieutenant governor's office, and that's where we're at on that.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Every year or two, I ask, is there any movement on reopening Bayside Drive or preventing the continued erosion and reopening Hillside Road and the sidewalk at the shopping center? Is there any way to get that sidewalk? So those three things. Is COVID is back on the rise? Is it possible to ask the employees to be vaccinated? Why is the Mother Teresa, why do we have a special counsel for Mother Teresa when the borough attorney handled it before? And that's then my last thing is that I really agree with the mayor's speech about, you know, civility and listening to other people, but I really think the mayor is preaching to the wrong choir. He should be talking to the sheriff and the head of her party who refused to debate their opponents, and to the people who allow candidates on the ballot after the deadline to confuse the voters, or people who allow candidates on the ballot without enough signatures on their petition. So it's not us that are creating the dissension in the dialogue. I think it comes from the top. And I want to say to the council, whereas the police have limited immunity, you have unlimited immunity. Nothing you do or say in your official capacity as a councilman can subject you to any kind of legal proceeding. So I would advise you to read the statutes yourself, come to your own conclusion about whether the redevelopment of the Mother Teresa Tract conforms to the statute of without this public effort is not likely to be developed, and use your common sense about why would the legislature give a local government redevelopment power in excess of their zoning and planning power. And in conclusion, I just want to say that James Madison, who wrote the First Amendment and was the fourth president of the United States, said, "A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy or perhaps both." Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring the next
Tracy Abbey. Next. Hi, Tracy Abbey White, 7th Avenue, Atlantic Highlands. I just have a question for the council. pertaining to regionalization. I understand that Dr. Beans is going to pursue the first phase of regionalization, but for all of us who attended the meetings, both studies stated that the way that made most sense was if we moved forward with the full regionalization plan, and that included Seabright. So I'm just asking who on the council will be the liaison.
So we have not identified who from the council will be a liaison because the attorneys have not agreed upon who from the municipalities would be at the table during the mediation process. So that's forthcoming.
Thank you.
I'm just going to add, Corazio plan and the team plan are very different in approach. The team plan, the first step is expanding the district with a special need. That's the first step.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Ms. Smith, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Muriel Smith, 429 Leonard Avenue. I am having trouble with the audio on the Zoom connection, so I'm having difficulty hearing you as well. My question on the regionalization is, I didn't quite hear what you said, Mr. Perugina, but I thought that we hired mediators so that they could discuss the money issue. Where did this come up that Dr. Beams is making a decision on what we're going through first? Are the people not getting any say in this, or what's happening here?
So I have not received any information from our legal counsel informing us that Dr. Beams has had any position. I was informed that the boards have taken a position, so I can't speak on anything relative to Dr. Beams.
So are there representatives from each of the boards talking, or is this taking place? And are minutes available? How does the public know what the heck is going on with this?
So I would encourage you to reach out to the school districts with those questions. I can't speak on behalf of what they do or their minutes or anything of that nature.
All right, then let me get back to the mediator. I'm sorry that you don't know whether the boards have discussed this. You're reporting something, but you obviously don't have any background on it. You don't know whether the boards have met or whether there are individuals that have made these decisions or whether just Dr. Beams is making the decisions on their own. But moving on from there, didn't this council hire an attorney to a mediator to discuss the money issue of this?
No, we are represented by special counsel, Mr. Giacobbe. All of the entities involved in the process have agreed that Glenn Fournay would be the mediator for the collective group. We have not hired Mr. Fournay.
And what is Mr. Verde's capacity? What is his mission? What is he trying to accomplish?
He's trying to accomplish to get everybody on the same page.
And so, if everybody has to be on the same page, are you agreeing with the school boards or Dr. Beams or whoever made that decision that you're going to proceed with just pace through 12 in the two towns?
That's a premature question. I don't think we're there yet.
I'm sorry?
That's a premature question. I don't think we're there yet.
When will that decision be made? The school boards apparently have made that decision. And you haven't?
The collective group has not made that decision.
Have the school boards made that decision? Is that what you said earlier?
I cannot speak on the school boards. All I can tell you is that their attorney, the school board's legal counsel, has advised our legal counsel as well as Mr. Gagliardi, of what they would like to move forward with in their process.
So the attorney has advised your attorney that what?
Their attorney has advised the other attorneys in the matter that the boards are in the process of reevaluating their position, including the possibility of focusing on moving forward with the first phase of the plan, namely to regionalize Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and Hedbury-Hudson Regional.
And doesn't the council ask any questions when you get these reports from these attorneys that you're paying? Somebody's paying, the taxpayers are paying.
Sure, we were just advised of this update. I'll be happy if you have questions. You want to email me, I can try to get you additional answers in the coming days.
Terrific. Okay, we'll work it that way. Thank you, Kanye. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And my other question is, again, because I couldn't hear my apologies, but I couldn't hear. You were saying a larger room would be needed for a public hearing on the Mother Teresa thing. Am I correct on that?
If the governing body would like to have a larger venue to accommodate a capacity that exceeds this room, then the logical choice would be the school auditorium. So yes.
For the Mother Teresa thing.
That is correct.
Okay. I would think the logical choice would be the Mother Teresa building, but if it's the one that's under discussion, I would think, and that they've got a big room there as well. Okay, thank you very kindly, I appreciate it. Sorry I'm not there tonight.
No problem,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No other hands raised at this time.
Okay, and how many on Zoom right now? 18? All right, thank you. Questions or comments from the public?
Good evening, Happy New Year, Morgan Spicer, 620 Woods Drive. Like Mr. Morrison, I have about a half dozen things. I'm really glad to hear about the office hours though, so for the future, that's always good to know that exists and to know you guys on the record so often. Since we're very far away from the 4th of July that we brought up tonight, I'd like to just again bring up the idea of pursuing silent fireworks, since we do care so much about wildlife and our veterans and people who are affected by these loud noises that maybe we could be years in this area, and I'm sure it's not something that's going to happen overnight, probably not this year, maybe not the next couple of years, but I'd like to just put it back on the record that we could potentially pursue that. Something that I bring up almost every time, but I'm not going to be using a certain word anymore. I'm now going to just say I'd really like it if this council could bring up a single payer health care resolution to ask Congressman Frank Pallone if he would support a single payer system for New Jersey and the country as a whole. In lieu of Martin Luther King Day that's coming up, we know that Martin Luther King was a socialist. And before his death, a lot of what he talked about was income inequality, which has just gotten exasperated since his assassination. And one of the things that Americans face most is bankruptcy because of medical debt. And a single payer system would help with that. About 500,000 Americans go bankrupt because of this. It's just, I think, absolutely absurd. So once again, here's my plea. Please consider a single payer resolution to bring to Congressman. I want to thank Councilman Hornleiter for talking about the Rec Council. Something else that is coming up is February 4th. We're going to be having a Broadway show in the gallery for the second time. There's going to be three Broadway performers who are coming down from New York City to perform in the gallery with our own resident who's on the piano. Last time was amazing. It was pretty cool to have that kind of talent right here in town. So it's February 4th. If anyone's interested, check out ahparks.org. And lastly, I saw that there were comments about the Henry Hudson Springs on Facebook. I think I just want to make a plea that if there's any residents listening, that if this is something you're passionate about, I really hope you'll come to the Environmental Commission meeting so we can put our heads together. I think it's a great asset, and I think we should be working as a community to keep it looking great. And I know that they have been doing their best to do that, and climate change has made it difficult to deal with everything. So please, if you're excited about Henry Hudson Springs, please come to council DC meeting, which is, I'm sorry,
it's on the 24th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
James Kraus, 77 Bayside Drive. I'd like to follow up on some of the things that Mr. Weinstorff, my fellow Bayside Drive resident, brought up. One is, I think the new website is working fine. I find it much easier to navigate. I haven't done a lot on it, but it's much quicker and it looks a lot nicer. He talked about information. This is something I've mentioned in the past, hopefully with a newly constituted council. You'll get into the world of active communication of information. There were a number of things mentioned tonight that have gone out to 18 people on Zoom, maybe 20 people in the audience. It could go out to a lot more if we had an email list. How to handle paint disposal, what to do with your brush now that the DPW is not picking up, what to do with the snow that we might or might not have this year. Various events have been mentioned, several items in Mr. Ferragina's report, which would be great if people got it in an email. They don't even have to come to a meeting or watch on Zoom. And then it's great that person has got an unofficial recreation website, but that stuff should be broadcast by the borough. I don't think we need a fancy email like Middletown has. I'm on the Middletown email because they have a railroad pass or a parking pass. It can be very simple, once a month, maybe twice a month. But I think that should be done. I mean, it's 2023. And then finally, one thing that I don't agree with Mr. Weinstorff on is opening up Bayside Drive so it becomes a highway between the ferry stops, where sections are really only wide enough for one car, including right in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine crashes that will happen every month, every so often. And environmentally, having that kind of vibration going on our steep slope section doesn't make sense to me either. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher?
Mr. Kraus, I'll just tell you that we've started the first step of what you talk about with the website, with people wanting to get agendas. That started with the planning board. You can sign up for it, and you'll get an email push about that. We're going to add mayor and council, and then I can have conversations with Zumo about if there's a way to harvest new content that goes into the site and see if that can be included in a push system for sort of what this newsletter, for lack of a better way of explaining it, to answer your question. So it's a good idea, and if there's a way that we can use the technology to do that, that's something that we'll look into.
Okay, Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. My first question comes as the chairman of the parking committee. Back in November, I believe it was, I sent a letter to you requesting a rebranding of the parking committee. I was told at the end of the year that would be considered early this year by the new council.
Mm-hmm.
When is that going to take place?
We're still in. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so the new council has not had one executive session yet, and we're not permitted by law to discuss any matter as a group. So I know there's some people in the community that love when we go into executive session, but that's the only avenue that we can really have an open discussion pertaining to any given issue collectively as a group. So as soon as we have an opportunity to do that, we can discuss that matter.
Okay, so last year I had organized a meeting for January, just
right,
because of the whole calendar issue and everything else. So we do have a meeting next week, but I want to be able to tell my committee what their future is. So will we have an answer at some point, even if we're going to exist?
I don't believe by that time. If it's next week, I don't...
The best opportunity, unless we had an emergency executive session meeting, which I don't anticipate, we would go into executive session at the next meeting, and then hopefully, if that item was discussed and the council agreed on one decision one way or another, then you would be informed. So the next meeting, I believe, is on the 26th, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time frame.
Okay, so it would still be potentially in time for the February meeting, which
correct.
Is the third Thursday.
Correct, yep.
And we'll just go ahead with our planned meeting and we'll play it by ear. Second question is ordinance 01-2023, the personnel salary scales and all that wasn't on the agenda for tonight. Why is that?
Yeah, it hasn't been completed yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion, and maybe it's on there for on purpose, maybe it's not, but we still have a scale for a dispatcher, a part-time dispatcher, which we don't employ anymore as far as I know. And there's a position called the Community Rating System Coordinator, which I'd really love to know what that is.
I'd have to get back to you. I don't know what that is either.
Well, whatever it is, you can get paid up to $3,000. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So those scales, just so you know, there's no monies that are that for the positions that there's nobody there. There's no monies active.
I understand that.
Right.
I have never, in my 6 years of coming to these meetings, heard from a person called a community rating system coordinator.
You and me both.
So, very good.
I don't think there is one in the borough.
No.
The community rating system, the CRS system, is related to FEMA for floodplain management.
Okay.
So you're in a municipality that is heavily regulated by floodplain. You can the municipality can attempt to join the CRS program and need a local coordinator for that.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. I assume you don't have one of those.
Right.
Okay, my third question is about let me preface this by saying for the people in the audience or up here that were involved with the 7-Eleven before it was built, there were many meetings of the planning board. Three of those meetings very heavily discussed the signage around 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 weeks ago, I was at the stoplight the first day on 36 and looked to my left, and I noticed a very large, tall, lime green clothing donation box 30 feet from the highway. We talked for three meetings with the planning board about a 10-foot-high 7-Eleven sign 30 feet off the highway. And this thing gets plopped almost on the driveway on the entrance to the 7-Eleven with no application, no permission, as far as I know, from the code enforcement officer. So how the heck did this thing wind up there? It looks awful.
So that structure was not authorized or permitted by the borough. It was essentially illegally placed there. The borough
got to be on the right of way. I mean, it's that close to the highway.
So the borough immediately contacted the company because their phone number is on the structure, and they have agreed to remove it. And if they do not remove it, we will remove it for them.
Eric, thanks.
Mr. Fair, Gina did that immediately.
I did.
Great. Yeah, but he's getting so good at these third-party contacts, the double polls, all that stuff.
Making a lot of friends.
Yeah, he's got a lot of friends. The follow-ups with the county and the state on Ocean Boulevard closing for 6 months,
yep.
Any feedback on that?
Yeah, yet? So the only update on that is that my goal is to gather the same group that I had a year ago when I met with the county officials when they so graciously responded to our request to meet with them, and they did, and to have a follow-up meeting. That's my intention. So I haven't put in a request for a follow-up meeting, but I anticipate doing that within the next week, and then we will readdress all of that list of items with them. So we can have a better follow-up with the community.
Okay, the same person who's doing that project did the Nipissing for the road bridge. So if you contact, I have one for you.
Thank you.
The other thing, I guess, was the Route 36, three different projects, right? The intersection at Grand Avenue with lighting and intersection improvement, the flagpoles and the streetscape, all DOT. I assume there has been zero feedback in the month of January for this. The business administrator.
It's a work in process, but I hope to have an update by the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
restrictions. The executive sessions for Mother Teresa. Most of you have been involved with them. And in that discussion is finance and the price tag, I assume, for the property. The other part of the discussion is the redevelopment of that property and leading up to the plan that came out. So right now, I assume the financial piece of the negotiation is still going on. But the plan itself has been introduced to the public. So I would think that at this point, any of the discussion for the last 3.5 years that led to that plan being sent out to the public should be available to the public. In other words, what were the other options that were considered? And it was winnowed down to just those two options that was introduced to the plan.
So,
am I wrong in saying that?
My response to that would be, there's a wonderful opportunity at the public hearing to have that specific question and others asked to the redevelopment planner so he can walk through to the community the rationale as to how the plan that was eventually finished and presented, how he got to that and how his firm got to that, and what other plans possibly were considered, why they weren't the final plan that was submitted, so on and so forth. So that I would encourage those questions.
Okay, so the planner that was hired, or the firm that was hired to come up with the final plan.
Yeah.
When did they come on board?
Fran Reiner and his firm, I brought them on, so I was here, so within the past 15 months. April?
I think it was April.
Around that time.
So, Seinfeld and Trochia, which did the 2019 presentation of the three schemes, obviously they're out of the picture. This firm got hired a little over a year ago, so there's a gap in between. Of about 2 years. In that 2 years, the advice initially was go forth and build senior housing. The plan we got is go forth and build houses. So somewhere in that 2 years, with the executive sessions, there was a lot of talk that led 180 degrees from senior housing to residences. So my question is that information during the 2 years available now? Because I don't think the planner is going to know what went on in those 2 years. He wasn't involved.
So I would say the discussions in executive session, I would have to consult with our borough attorney, but off the top of my head, I would say I do not believe they're privy to the public. I would also remind you that the councils have changed from year to year, right? The public, the
make attorneys for this project.
So the attorneys.
And significantly, so has the borough administrator.
Borough administrator and, thank you, and the makeup of the community, the socioeconomics of the community, the layout of the community, the population of the community. So there's many dynamics that have changed. Those are all very good questions that I would encourage you to ask that evening to the redevelopment planner, and hopefully there can be some further insight.
So I'm looking at you, but now I'm going to address the attorney. The attorney, I'm going to just say two things were discussed, finances and the redevelopment. One is out in the public. The other, obviously, finance can't be let out to the public yet. So, personally, I don't see why there's any reason why all of that information about the plan can't be let out to the public now. I know you can't decide now, but that's just my plea.
Thank you.
I would also like to just say these are ongoing matters, ongoing negotiation matters.
And technically, the plan was withdrawn. Right,
that's correct.
So the plan does not currently exist.
Well, it's stalled.
Well, without going into a lot of detail, in order for me to have any opinion on that, I have to read the executive meeting minutes, and I think that they could be so intertwined that they're not ready for publication yet. But if they are, if there are parts of those meeting minutes that could be released to the public, then I will so advise the mayor and council.
Thank you.
I can't wait to read those minutes.
Nobody, thank you. Anyone else? Questions? Comments? Okay. So I don't see any hands. I'm going to ask for a motion in a second.
To close.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Comiserto.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dockerty?
Yes.
Ms. Hornlightner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Motion to adjourn?
Second, Dockerty.
There's no exec tonight, correct?
Voice.
There's no executive session, correct?
No, no voice, or no executive.
No executive.
All right, I've moved 3 miles, just so you guys know, the entire hour in traffic.
Okay, have a good night.
I believe we have a first and second motion to adjourn.
We do.
Roll call?
Yeah, we did roll call.
We did roll call.
No, that was to come out of public.
That was, now we have a right.
Aye.
Which we usually do voice. Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.